That was a beautiful selection, Randy. Thank you. And we're grateful to Randy Lacey, a member of our choir, who is directing today as well in Bob's absence. When we were in Istanbul, Turkey, in March, we had the opportunity to learn about Turkish carpet making. It's a fascinating subject in spite of how it sounds. And we actually got to observe a carpet weaver. She was a woman of middle age, sitting cross-legged on the floor in front of her loom. Fibers were stretched vertically on the loom, and with very deft fingers, she chose a small thread from a pile lying on the floor beside her and made two quick double knots. About a second was all it took. And we learned that there are up to 900 double knots per square inch in a good Turkish carpet. Now, these ornate carpets are time-consuming, and truly they are works of art. If you've ever purchased one, you know that you get to pay for that beautiful art. And I wondered aloud how the weaver knew which thread to choose in the process of creating this ornate pattern. And it turns out that most of the patterns are several hundred years old, and they are associated, each pattern, to a specific region in Turkey. Above the loom was a printed pattern, much like an ornate cross-stitch pattern, which indicated the color for each knot. Now, this process is so painstaking that the government of Turkey only allows carpet weavers to work 3 hours a day. Otherwise, they experience problems with their eyesight, with finger dexterity, and with back pain, of all things. Now, being a stitcher myself, but I don't sit cross-legged on the floor, I watched this Turkish woman as she knotted thread, and I realized that although she didn't speak any words, she was telling an old, old story. With each thread and each knot, she wove together the good and the bad of her day into a lovely work of art. And it's a peaceful process, I realized, one which sort of adds the final blessing, the amen, to the past and the present. It seemed like she was weaving together the joys and the sorrows, the trials and the celebrations, the hopes and the dreams of the past and the present, and even into the future. And I think this kind of weaving stands as a good metaphor for the work that you and I have as people of faith in our lives. If you're like me, you get up in the morning and listen to the news of the world around us. People are at war, wildfires are way out of control, children have been kidnapped, and we switch off the news, and then we begin our day. We drive past people who hold signs, "We'll work for food," and we get it hit up for a school fundraiser from the neighborhood kid. We visit with a friend and we listen to their joys and their sorrows. We work, we volunteer, we interact, we take care of business, and then we return home. We talk on the phone and offer advice, support, and counsel, or just visit with someone. We may watch TV, take a bike ride, run errands, pay bills, and finally sit down to rest at the end of the day. And as we begin to ease ourselves into rest, we began to think through the day, the activities, not knowing what, if anything, we can say or do to ease another person's burden. And while we're asleep, our lives are woven together, and somehow the divine makes sense of them. I don't know how this happens. I only know that it does. Our scripture for today is a description of some of the first priestly garments made for Moses and Aaron. It's found in Exodus 29, and because of time, I'm not going to read it, but it is in the insert in your bulletin. This description of the priestly garment is thorough and complete. It indicates even what kinds of threads are used to make the vestments, the finest linen, and the royal color of priestly garb. Another weaver is Winnie Harvey. She's a Navajo rug weaver in Arizona. And she was asked how she understands weaving as a parallel to life. She responded, "I advise people to weave together the pieces of their own lives. Remember that interwoven with the mind are meditation and thoughts. So when you make a mistake, correct it. Weaving is like a menu. You have to mix all kinds of ingredients to stay strong. If you get too perfect, you're already in heaven." This is the work, I think, of each Christian. We live and we breathe our faith. We join our lives with others. We experience their pain and their joy. And at the end of our day, it all comes together in our thoughts and our prayers in one steady rhythm, a weaving, if you will. And that's why days like Memorial Day are important in our lives. This weekend is set aside to remember. Some people, including me, like to split the word into re-member. We remember those lives that are lost in war. And when we think of them, they are reunited in spirit with us. We remember our loved ones who died in other ways, and we remember their stories. And we weave together our past and the lessons learned, our present and our hope for the future. It's this kind of collective weaving process with the whole of our society. It's necessary and good to remember. In fact, it's a work of love. Love for those who have gone before us, love for ourselves, and love for those, even our own children and grandchildren, who will follow us. So in the act of remembering, we're weaving our lives with theirs into this smooth and loving work of art. Take a moment to think of those people, past, present, or future, who are part of your life's weaving. Some of them may be like big old hunks of heavy yarn. I had an Uncle Don who was like that. Some might be smooth, silky pieces of ribbon. Some might be short threads, and others are longer. They're all different colors, different textures, different shapes, different in so many ways. And somehow, without an obvious connection, the Spirit of God weaves us all together with our strengths and weaknesses into this beautiful tapestry of life. Corrie Ten Boom is among those who are credited with writing the poem, beloved poem, entitled Life's Weavings. It is also in your bulletin. And I know that many of you know it, but I think it's beautiful and deserves to be read. "My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Ofttimes he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why." Now today we are using one of my favorite songs, Weave, as our closing. And Weave is a beautiful ecumenical song. It was written in 1979 by Rosemary Crowe. She said that when her new church got a new rector from Australia, he was obviously very different from anything their church had experienced. And in his first sermon, he said that he felt God had led him to them and that he became the rector, waiting to see how God was going to weave their lives together. That sermon, plus the Quaker sharing of the piece where the Christ in me greets the Christ in you, inspired this song. And when the three branches of the Lutheran Church merged, they used this song as a theme. Shortly thereafter, the Girl Scouts adopted it as their song. And in 1984, the Girl Scout and Girl Guides World Conference in New York used it as their theme song. So Randy's going to sing the verses, so you don't have to worry about those. And then I'll invite you to respond with the chorus. Now we're going to start with Helen playing the chorus, the choir singing the chorus, and then all of us will sing the chorus. And then Randy will sing the verses, which are beautiful and very scriptural as you hear them. As you go out into the world this week, I would invite you to find someone's loose thread, someone who isn't connected, someone who needs the love of God to pull them in and find a place and a home for them. Amen.